www.thedominantmedia.org. Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner. It's the 26th of August. And sorry I wasn't here to answer your call, Lonnie, if you're listening, which you're probably not. You're out tonight. But we're trying to do the best we can here to connect dots for everyone. And you know, once again, I seem to be apologetic for exposing our system because so many pieces of the puzzle stay in place and you can't remove them, but you have to mention them on a daily basis many times. NAFTA is a perfect example of that. And, you know, there's a big move to stop FTAA. How in the hell is anybody going to stop FTAA when NAFTA is so fully implemented? How in the hell is anybody going to stop NAFTA? I mean, I'm tired of this. I mean, gee, listeners, if there's anybody listening, I'm at my wit's end on all this. You know, showing up to do this as things are being implemented, as immigration is coming into place, illegal immigration, amnesty coming into place, motor voter in California for illegals to vote. That happened years ago. And nobody can connect these dots to the UN system. I mean, I feel like I'm in a lifeboat in the middle of the ocean with no one around. That's what I feel like. Everything is so obvious to me and so perfectly as should be, being that we've been part of this UN system for half a century, and yet nobody recognizes it. These elections, or the selection, or whatever you want to call the damn thing, they even give Nader 3% of the vote. Once again, they're neck and neck. and they're dealing with Kerry's war record. Well, my goodness gracious. Well, what a stupid thing to be joking about, I suppose. Mocking Kerry's military record. Well, listen, people, that was a set-up war. That was an extension of Korea, just in a different part of the world. If you can sandbag in that war, I don't blame people for having done it. The generals weren't allowed to run the war. The military wasn't allowed to militarily win the war. Everything had to come out of Washington, D.C., as far as orders and maneuvers, and more than likely New York City as well. So, you know, you connect these dots. It's just so obvious that, to me, it becomes rather mundane to continue with the things that I do. I'm not here to do anything but document what the hell's going on. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to deal with who's behind it, because you can't touch them. They're untouchable. Why deal with exposing who's behind it when most people don't even know their names, first of all? 99.999% of the population has no clue about who's really behind this. There are organizations semi-open about it. The CFR certainly was a secret organization for many, many, many years. Council on Foreign Relations. Foreign Affairs is a publication that forecasts the future for us. And they forecasted a bleak future of certain people. And I covered it last night, Peterson. And I was hoping Darren would get it on the website, but I didn't ask him to do so he didn't. But some of these Foreign Affairs articles need to be put up on the website to let people know what the future holds for us. I'm just in a situation today where I just wonder what is the point. And if you have any thoughts on this, if you have any solutions about the situation, call in. There's no reason not to, if there's a solution to what I've been talking about. That would be well received. Obviously, there's not much of a solution. I wanted to get that gentleman on, Ira. Boy, I wish Ira would have called in tonight, and I didn't talk to him. So I wish there was a way that somebody could get Ira to call in that's listening, that maybe has communicated to him. It would really be nice to talk to him with so much experience of this and what he's exposing himself. And he connects the dots to Agenda 21. And this is very, very important. I feel so, you know, alone in the middle of the ocean. I really do. And I don't know what to do. I just, you know, I've got to start welding. I've got to start doing something to make money. And once again, this is a repetitive of last night. And we all need to survive. And certainly, the property taxes are going to be raised. Some months ago, DJ McGuire sent me this, and he's the China e-lobby. He wrote the book about how communist China supports terrorism. And this is way back in February. And he says, I've included you in this email because from time to time we have banged around various trade and immigration issues, some outside the purview of communist China. I have now just eliminated, in my view, the outside part, particularly where NAFTA and immigration from Mexico are concerned. For obvious reasons, I call it the Mexico theory. He wants to know what I thought about this. Now, I want to know what you think about this. This is in its infancy, and the nuances and permutations will likely change, but at its core, it is this. NAFTA was, in part, supposed to be to improve the Mexican economy to some extent at the expense of the U.S. economy. The justification for this was, one, the U.S. economy could take the hit and still survive, and two, the job transfer to Mexico would mean fewer illegal immigrants in the U.S. That was the logic, in part, behind NAFTA. And he says, full disclosure, I backed NAFTA in 1993. Unfortunately, Communist China's entry into the WTO and the removal of Mexican tariffs that went with it, U.S. tariffs were already gone. PNTR just precluded any reintroduction of them. Has had a terrible effect on the Mexican economy. Once again, unfortunately, Communist China's entry into the WTO and the removal of Mexican tariffs that went with it, terrible effect on the Mexican economy. According to Time, Mexico gained about 62,500 jobs a year from the U.S. post-NAFTA. I'll take that call when I'm completed with this. Hang on. However, according to Newsmax, after the PRC joined the WTO in 2001, Mexico lost over 100,000 jobs a year to the Chi-Coms, resulting in a net loss of almost 40,000 jobs a year. Mexico being much poorer than the U.S., it can't handle that kind of adjustment, so the people stream northward of people looking for work turns into a flood. Thus, did free trade with Communist China wipe out any benefits from NAFTA and exasperate the illegal immigration problem? Those of us who wish to cancel PNTR, I guess that's something having to do with most favored nation trading partner, I suppose. Once again, those of us who wish to cancel PNTR with the Chi-Coms have to focus on NAFTA as well, so long as it exists. The commies can ship their goods to Tijuana or Vancouver, and at most lose a day of travel time. Likewise, we should consider the possibility the real immigration reform could force Mexico to take a look at the damage Communist China is doing. Meanwhile, opponents of NAFTA and the current illegal flood have to examine the role the Chi-Coms play. NAFTA could vanish tomorrow, but the jobs from Mexico won't come back. They'll just go to Communist China. Meanwhile, the economic incentives pushing Mexican illegals into this country would be greatly reduced if our neighbor to the south wasn't losing 100,000 jobs a year to the Chi-Coms. Thus, all three issues are, in my view, integrated. And that was DJ McGuire. But it's the UN system, plain and simple. And you can't erase the lives that were lost in Korea and Vietnam and the POWs that never returned. And that is the situation. You know, you can go with these individuals and all, but the whole ultimate goal system is the IMF, which was formed in 1944. We are part of the IMF. Most government employees don't even know who signs their paychecks any longer. They're electronically transferred into their bank accounts. The IMF is the Treasury Department. That's just the way it is. The Federal Reserve prints paper money out of thin air. So who owns this? And what are we a part of? All government agencies implement UN directives from treaties. The State Department maneuvers and manipulates the U.S. mission to the United Nations. Anyway, this is kind of where I leave it. Let's take Daniela. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello. I want you to know, first of all, that you're not alone out here. Even if you were in a boat by yourself, we would save you.
Yeah, you would, huh?
Yes. And I want you to know also, and the Bible talks about how people's ears are deaf and their eyes are blind to truth. But one at a time, we will be awakened. And you have helped. You and Jackie Petrue have helped me and my family. And we are teaching other people. We're becoming involved, especially after we learned about the anti-communitarian leak from you and your show. And we're telling more people. My husband tells people on his job. They tell people. They go home and tell people. It is having an effect what you're doing. And when you talk about solutions, I don't have any solutions.
I know.
But the thing is, the Bible says we can speak things into existence, and that is also healing and also repair. And there is a chance. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You feel a need to do this, and you've felt this for a long time, obviously. And it's easy to get depressed, because I get depressed. I fight this fight every day on a different level, you know.
Uh-huh.
Every single day is a fight. And
you have children in school, do you?
Well, I have two boys in college and another daughter that I had to try to everything I could to get them out of public schools.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter is 16 and just started in college, but she's in a charter school sort of thing where she takes college courses and finishes high school online.
Uh-huh.
Even now, after they found out that she would be outside of the realm of that communist indoctrination, they're trying to fight me on that now. Every single day they give me a new rule, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we're just going to have her take her, get her high school equivalency and continue on with college and get out, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And not to just go out and start a business, which you'll have to do on the side to make some money, but also to become an educated, informed person of real truth, so that she can do what you are doing and hopefully influence more people and wake up more people. You are having an impact. I know it sounds so lonely, and when I listen to you, I want you to know I pray for you every day. A lot of people are praying for you because you're doing such an incredible work for, I won't just say America, but for humanity. And I know wherever you're sitting in a room all by yourself, perhaps, but you're not alone, and you are doing a great work, and it really is having an impact, and we truly appreciate you.
Well, it's nice to hear. I just don't know how, you know, I'm going to survive doing this.
I know that, and I think about it all the time. I wish that we were wealthy.
I know. I wish you were, too.
Yeah, me too.
I wish somebody out there was.
Well, you know, perhaps something could happen. If I win the lottery, boy, you could be syndicated across America and live in a beautiful home and have everything you needed.
Well, that would be nice.
For different.
It's almost more of a lucky situation to be struck by lightning to win the lottery, however.
I know, unfortunately. And my children always tell me, you know, that when they get on their feet, they're going to take care of me.
You might win the lottery if your last name was Rodriguez, however.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I need to try harder. Maybe I change my name. But you mean with the illegal immigrants?
Yeah, I seem to think that a lot of these people from other countries seem to win the lottery for some reason.
Right, right. That's true. That's interesting.
Very strange.
I know. But every single day, it's not just, you know, when they say we wrestle against spirits and principalities, it's a physical, tangible battle that I fight. And my daughter today, we were in a meeting where they were trying to undermine her efforts, you know, to get out of that.
Oh.
And before we went in, you know, from listening to your show, from listening to, I can't remember the lady and her daughter from the anti-communitarian league.
Oh, Nikki Rapana.
Right, Nikki Rapana. After listening to when they were on your show and everything, I'll tell you, I was able to prepare my daughter for this meeting, and it was just an act of God that I knew that they were setting us up with other people coming into the meeting.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter is a real calm person, and she was so angry because she had read, along with me, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Isabey and
yeah.
Phyllis Schlafly's abuse in the classroom.
Right.
So from everything that she already knew and the way I prepared her for what was going to happen, it was incredible how it just played out just like that, how they were creatures that were like flies, you know, hitting at the window everywhere they could to try and find your Achilles foot or Achilles heel so that they could, you know, get inside and control you. It was absolutely amazing.
Really?
But she, my daughter, was trying to control herself. She almost hit one of the women because they were, it was so transparent what they were doing, and they really think you're stupid.
Weird.
What they want to do is to keep you in that communist indoctrination stuff. And when you talk about, you know, how Darren homeschools his children, I always wish that I had had that opportunity, had that ability.
Yes, the ability is the thing.
Yeah, especially when they get to, you know, trigonometry and all of these different things. I got a D in algebra in college, and I was doing handsprings. I was so happy.
Uh-huh. You passed.
You know, if I was teaching about history or, you know, any other thing, I could do those things. But as far as the complicated maths and sciences, I just am not capable.
Well, and where did you use it in your life afterwards, you know?
Exactly. I haven't used it at all.
Right. That's crazy. We're comfortably dumbed down to the point where we rely on a computer and a calculator. I can't imagine what it's like to go to school today because people are afraid of their lives when they go to school now.
Well, that's the truth. And also, after reading, my stepdaughter lives in Southwest Kansas, and we would go there to pick her up, and all the way there and all the way back, I would have my daughters read, you know, these books,
mm-hmm.
just read aloud to us, and both of them would sit there and talk about the things that they endured in their classrooms, and that's why we were so anxious to get them out, where they're asking, do your parents own guns?
Oh, my.
They ask about your Christian beliefs, and they ask why, and they condemn you if they ask you about your feelings about homosexuality, and then if you say you have a negative view, you know, of any kind, then the whole classroom attacks you.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
If your parents are divorced, why did they get divorced? You know, all kinds of personal questions. And then one of my daughters, when they were, my stepdaughter that I don't have much control over what goes on in her daily life because she lives so far away and her mother, you know, has custodial custody.
Yes.
And so my daughter here, my children, I did not allow them to go through the sex classes in school and stuff because that's my job as a parent to teach those things.
Correct.
But my stepdaughter, however, she was forced into one of those classes, and when she said that she had made up her mind that she was not going to have sex until she was married, the instructor, everybody there attacked her. Oh, that's what everybody says. Of course you will. And you just say that. Everybody says that. And, you know, here she was. At the time, she was 13 years old, and she had made a more mature decision than all of those people.
Uh-huh.
And she was ostracized in front of everybody, and it was just a horrible experience for her.
I can imagine.
But
that's called peer pressure, I suppose, isn't it?
Called what?
Peer pressure.
Yeah. You know, and I heard recently on C-SPAN, they have in the archives, they have Bill Cosby's comments. You know, he was explaining his comments.
Oh, boy, wasn't that good?
Oh, it was incredible. But the follow-up to it was a forum that they had, and he was explaining why. And he mentioned some situations where little 9-year-old boys are, you know, getting erections, and then they're getting together and raping little girls at school. And
you're kidding.
Well, people think that's far-fetched, but that happened to one of my nieces on play day when she was in grade school.
Wow.
So, you know, this stuff is not far-fetched, and what he was saying was absolutely true. Everything he said was true. People, you know, about taking personal responsibility, but also there comes a time when people just have to say it's not right, and no kids are not going to have sex, or they shouldn't be having sex when they're 19, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, whatever. It's not that it's unnatural, but it's not a necessary or the eventual thing that a person is going to do.
Well, really, sex at a young age is animal.
Yeah.
It's animal. It's four-legged animal type thinking. You know, I mean, I really do think this, that It's just feeling. It's just excitement. And, you know, obviously, the sex education teaching is designed to excite the young people.
I think so, too, yes.
And so what do we have but a flood of pregnant teenagers? And some of them have multiple partners, even. I mean, they don't even know who the father is.
Well, if you listen to those archives of the comments, it was a follow-up to what happened, and he was explaining himself, and then there was a forum, and Jesse Jackson was right beside him. And not in agreement with him, but to debate or dispute his comments, you know.
Right.
And it was interesting because Bill Cosby, after he said his piece, he said, well, I wish he was, the comedian in him came out and he said, I wish you wouldn't even ask the Reverend anything because there's going to be crying and hooping and hollering and then people are going to forget everything I just said. And lo and behold, when it was time for Jesse Jackson to speak, he did start crying because, you know, nothing personal. And I love American black people. I have, you know, I'm not saying anything negative about him. It has
right.
nothing to do with that. But,
right.
but he started crying because they were victims of slavery. What does that have to do with the comments of Bill Cosby?
Well, besides the fact that what does that have to do with anything to the fact that they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for slavery?
Well, I agree. And,
yeah.
and Bill Cosby also said that they are not Africans, and that made people mad. But right after they showed that that particular forum with Bill Cosby, they showed another forum that was held within the black community of people who agreed with him and people who disputed him. And there was a woman on there, and she teaches at one of the prominent colleges. I can't remember now, but she's a sociologist or something. And she was saying it's absolutely natural for the children to have sex at that age, and you know, saying how wrong he was about everything. And I know I'm losing my train of thought. There's just so many things to
sure.
talk about, but that is what he's looking at, and what we're all looking at, what our children are fighting against. What he is saying is normal and natural, and unfortunately, like my children. My son, when he would get mad, he would say, why do you act like that? You know, other parents don't do that. You know, when I say no to the music, no to the TV shows, no to the movies,
mm-hmm.
no to this, no to that. Well, I consider that being not a lazy parent. But this other lady's out there teaching the whole black community that it's natural and normal and that people like Bill Cosby are elitist and regardless of what color he is, you know, after you get out of the black community or the poorer community, that you no longer are in touch. Well, who needs to be in touch with what she's teaching? It doesn't matter what color or how wealthy or how poor you are, because we're not wealthy, and I still teach my children. And but most people, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it, why people like you and me and Darren Weeks and others like us are the ones that are abnormal in society. I don't
well, I think that's done by design, don't you?
Well,
after all these years?
Well, after my eyes have opened, I've understood more, you know, of course, because I see, especially after reading Charlotte Isabey's book
yeah.
and all of the other studies, that our kids don't understand that.
And, no, they don't.
And one, the reason that I called in, because all the time, I just wanted you to know that you make me feel like I'm not alone. You make my husband feel like he's not alone as a man. You know, when he goes out and tells people these things, because, you know, they think we're nutcases because we speak this way. So you make us feel like we're not alone too, Chris.
Well, I appreciate that, Daniela. And you're welcome to stay over if you want to include any more here.
Okay.
Stay with me.
Okay.
We'll be back.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Pam Stegner. Do you want to garden organically, obtain insect control naturally, or care for your pet without harsh chemicals? Biozyme products by Heartland Enterprises are a special blend of living microorganisms and organic substances, providing safe and cost-effective all-natural solutions for the agricultural industry, your home, garden, and lawn care. Organic solutions for lagoons and ponds, even for animals, Biozyme is effective prevention of West Nile disease for both humans and animals. Protect your family from damaging chemicals and disease. Order Biozyme today. Call Heartland Enterprises at 785-628-6435. That's 785-628-6435 or on the web at www.biozymeag.com. That's www.biozymeag.com.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Or call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour by Poker Face, and certainly very appropriate music to the program and the way we are. So, Daniela, I have this article by Bill Cosby here, dated July 9th. It's worth hearing again for the listeners, and I will cover that. But your thoughts some more?
Well, as I was waiting through the break, I was thinking about a conversation I had today after that meeting I told you about, where my daughter got so upset and she asked me, "Mom, would you just see if I can just take my GED and just totally get out from under their control?"
Right.
So I called around, and I found out that a new law, I'm not sure if it was federal or the state of Kansas, but in order for her to get her GED, the public school, even though she's not a part of it, would have to sign off on it. And
who would have to sign off on it?
The school.
The school would.
Right.
Oh.
And they said that the law said that when a child reaches 16, they have to be in school until they're 18 by law. And, you know, when a child is 16, that if the school signs off on it, okay. But if they don't and the child doesn't adhere to their rules, whatever rules they implement as far as them going to school,
mm-hmm.
that they can be arrested.
Oh, school. Really?
Yes, sir. And
wow.
I'll tell you what I felt like the world was crushing on my chest. You
yes.
don't hear that. Because here they are, we're talking about how they're deliberately dumbing down our children and they purposefully want these robots to come out, you know, that brainless, mindless, unthinking people.
Yeah.
And they're forcing them in and they're going to put our children in jail if they don't fit into that mold and if they refuse to stay in it. And if they, you know, because when they have the ultimate say over a child that they, number one, don't even know, but they do know my daughter because I had to implement the Hatch Amendment so many times last year. We just had a huge, huge battle every single day
mm-hmm.
because of that that consensus working that they do and, you know, all of the stuff that they do. You know, I'm sure you're aware of it, the stuff that's in Charlotte Isabey's book. It's
yes.
absolutely real and tangible. But then that made me think the other night when you were talking about Darren and how he homeschooled his children, and you mentioned, I think you mentioned that report about the charter schools. I'm not sure if you did or not, but I wrote you an email about it because I tried to get through when they said that all circuits were busy. But
uh-huh.
that report came out, I heard about it on the BBC early in the morning, so I knew about it before it was in the news here and in discussion, and I realized what they were going to do with that, because homeschoolers and others like my daughter are included in that, and the report said that charter schools are testing at lower than public schools. And so the very first thing I did is I called the superintendent and I called these other people that are involved in the charter schools and I had a meeting. And I found out that the included in the charter schools are the children from the public schools that they put out of the school for violence or drugs or they just won't do their schoolwork or whatever. They put them in these, they expel them out of the public school and put them in these other schools. And I didn't realize these were considered charter schools. And so when they talk about the testing, actually the testing of those children, unfortunately, I'm glad they have a second chance, but unfortunately theirs are combined with the homeschoolers and those of schools like my daughter's, and they pull down the scores. So the public schools are being evaluated against the scores of children that they refused to or could not educate.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen that anywhere, but that is the truth of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Damn frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really scary. And then when I think about, you know, my daughter, how she's really, really getting upset and not wanting to even deal with it anymore. It's really hard on me, but it's extremely hard on her.
Does she have any friends that are in the same thought pattern that she is?
Well, the children do, but their parents don't. They won't listen, and they won't listen to their children. They just basically, they'll get grounded if they get in trouble from the teachers, or even if they feel like it's something extremely intrusive, they still force their children to do it. And they believe that good grades, see, I used to believe this too, that good grades are indicative of your hard work and your intelligence, and this is my baby. The 16-year-old is my baby.
Mm-hmm.
I've got children all the way from 26 with stepchildren all the way down to 14 now. But
uh-huh.
as far as my child that I, you know, have direct authority over all of these years, this is my baby. And I've seen the change where it's no longer an indication of your abilities or your intellect is how well you fit in with that indoctrination.
Yes.
You know, giving them back the answers that they want, doing the behavior that they want, participating in the consensus. For instance, my daughter last year was in a classroom, a speech class, and this sounds really weird, but I'm sure you understand what I mean. You know when a person is homosexual, when they're one of those blatant males that are feminine.
Yes.
You know what I mean.
Sure.
Anyway, her teacher was like that, and he chose for her, out of everybody else, he chose the homosexual issue for her, homosexual marriage, for her to write a speech on and to give a speech.
Wow.
And this was after they had discussed beliefs, forcing the children to discuss beliefs in the classroom. So he knew exactly how she felt. Well, so she's still going to be intellectually honest, even though she knew that it was getting her bad grades. Well, she starts the first part of the writing process that they required, and he takes up the papers and looks at them, and he picks hers out. And she says, the Bible says homosexuality is an abomination. Marriage should be between a man and a woman, you know,
right,
like
right.
that. And right in front of the whole class, he said, that is a lie.
Huh.
And my daughter said, excuse me? And he said, that's a lie. And he says, and he goes on about, you know, their side of the issue about how Christians pick and choose. And he got the students involved in it, and one of the girls says, he should know he's a minister. So my daughter, you know, of course she stood firm, but she was by herself, like you say, still alone. She was alone, and a lot of our children are alone.
Yeah.
But in the classrooms, what they do is work towards consensus. They force you to say your belief and the belief of your family. And then they talk about everybody else's beliefs, and a lot of them, you know, they open up the top of their head and just, they put in that indoctrination and out comes the data that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is supposed to come to a consensus with them, compromise her beliefs. That's what they do. They force you to compromise, and she refused to compromise.
And so she, as a result of that, if she continues, she'll receive a bad grade?
That's right, she received bad grades. And according to the Hatch Amendment, they're not supposed to, you know, with these things, they're not supposed to be able to do that, and then they're not supposed to punish the children by giving them bad grades, but they did.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, it got so bad in this public school that my daughter, like my other children, is really gifted, especially in math. And they destroyed her math records. Everything to do with her math records, destroyed them. I have an email where they said the word destroyed, but they don't know why they did it. And so they gave my daughter an F. And when she thought she was going into geometry as a sophomore, they were forcing her to take algebra again. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? I said, let me see the documentation where my daughter failed this. They had destroyed the documentation. They couldn't remember her scores or any of the information, but they knew it was so bad that it didn't even come close to a D. Well, when they forced her to take it again, she got 120%. And the teacher was a new teacher, new to the school system and everything. Our first meeting, our first parent-teacher conference last year, she told me that my daughter was so gifted in math that the kids that the teacher wasn't able to teach, my daughter was. And that she had a special gift in math. And just the year right before that was when they had told me she had... they had given her an F, but anyway, and she had no aptitude whatsoever for math, but they're keeping that on her as a part of her GPA. So that's why we desperately want her out, and now we keep finding roadblocks. And they keep, every single day, they move the bar. Like a couple days ago, they said, well, she could do such and such if you paid for it. Okay, fine. You know, fine. And then the next day, when I said fine, then the next day they said, oh, no, well, if you pay for this, I'm talking about the charter school with the grant money.
Right.
But if I pay for the additional stuff, then they're not going to do anything for her. And then they're going to force her back into that public school, and the public school that has to write off on it, on her for, to go and take the GED or the, you know, just the high school equivalency, then they're not going to do it. And if she doesn't go to school, she'll get arrested.
It's sort of like you've got avenues to take, but they all lead to the same direction.
Exactly, exactly.
And if you don't cooperate, it gets worse and worse.
That's right, exactly. And today that was, like I said, that felt like the world on my chest when they talked about arresting her, because she's at the point where why even try? You might as well make all F. Who cares? They're not teaching anything. And she doesn't, you know, obviously she understands the truth and doesn't want, she will not accept that indoctrination. She won't.
Well, we can certainly understand why the Oklahoma school district here is so upset, because they can't drug test the children because there's not enough money to do it. And yet the children are engineered into this direction because they're hopelessly being taught nothing.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So it's somewhat of a gulag mentality, isn't it?
It really is. And I'll tell you what, you know, every day, like right now, my husband and I were sitting in our sunroom in the back, and it's got windows all around, and we've got pretty trees and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
we looked out in the neighborhood, and before our eyes were open, we saw how pretty the neighborhood looked and stuff, and I mean with the trees and things.
Right.
And now it's almost like you can't breathe because you know you're not free.
Right. Yeah, there you are. It's like we're not free. We're slowly being implemented into directions that are going to make us poor.
That's right. And I think about Nikki Rapana's daughter.
Yes.
And she's so intelligent and articulate, and you saw the avenue that she took. She chose not to go further in this school and all of this stuff. And I think about my children, and I know that in order to get ahead around here, you have to have an education. However, I don't see where it's getting you anywhere. It's just it's taking away your mind. It's not getting you anywhere as far as your ability to think and be. Not be blind. But did you happen to hear Jackie's show before yours?
No.
She had Alan Watt on her show, and he was talking about the percentages of the people that at any given time are awake to the truth. And he was talking about that compared to the elite who are in control of everything, where there's 3% that are in control of everything. And at any given time, there's only 3% who are awake.
I don't know how he can come to that conclusion.
I don't remember how he did. You know, I have family in and out, but to me, it kind of makes sense. I don't know the percentages, but if you look around you, even in your daily life, if you walk in the store or somewhere, you know, the people, they are asleep. And like right here where we're at, we're on your website. It has the, what's that called? The NAFTA trade route.
The NAFTA corridors.
The NAFTA corridors.
Right.
We are at a juncture where at the north and south and the east and west, right here where I'm at, it's right there. And I'll tell you what, this reminds you of either the Manchurian candidate or the Stepford wife, whichever one you prefer. Because that is exactly how the people are here. It's like a whole city, it's a suburb of Wichita, Kansas, but it's a whole bunch of people that are just like zombies.
Yeah, isn't it terrible? It doesn't matter where you are in the country. We're surrounded by ignorance, and that's the disheartening part about it. And the illegal immigration, which is legal migration in the UN's eyes, continues to flood. And I don't know. I'm at my wit's end. I made a conscious decision in 1975 not to have a family because of this. You know, I was awake all these years, and I escaped into different directions to escape it myself, but it never goes away. It's always there. And so, I made a decision to help wake up our country, and then Anthony Hilder pushed me into doing talk shows, so into calling talk shows, and then eventually I ended up doing this. But
have you heard, I know... Well, this is something that would affect you if you had to go in and renew your driver's license. My daughter, just at being 16, just got her driver's license.
Uh-huh.
And with the Homeland Security here in Kansas, they've changed. They're no longer side to side. They're rectangle standing up. I don't know how to make that, how to describe that. And they said it had to do with Homeland Security, and they don't give it to you immediately. It takes up to 60 days, but she's received hers already. And they've got a big picture of you and a smaller picture, and then all of these little things implanted in it. And they haven't said this, but I heard it somewhere where they said that this was a computerized or digitized image of you.
Uh-huh.
So that wherever you're at, it no longer takes a fingerprint or whatever. They can just do that, and your image will come up. And they don't even have to have the picture, just that digitized whatever that is inside of it. And you can see all these different things inside of it. You just don't know what they are. And the reason that they said that they were doing that, the lie was for Homeland Security, but the other was to show that they needed something else, perhaps to implant in people or whatever, because those, even these driver's licenses can be stolen. Duh. You know? So eventually they're going to say, well, we've tried this and we've tried that. We've tried global positioning. We've tried the scanning images of the people, you know, the whole nine yards, and it doesn't work. So, you know, they're saying that that's a possibility, that that's what they want to do, to force implanting into humans, into the American people.
Well, it's not far off, apparently. And you know, according to the polls, 55% of the population approve of Bush's Homeland Security, which wasn't really Bush's. It's just his, under his watch. But what can we believe on the news anyway, in the polls? We really don't know whether we can believe them. We know we can't believe them. But the intrusion into our society and the creation of the crisis to bring us to the point of this, and the fact that they promote more, when we have these protections that are even more intrusive now, and they expect more, but the flooding of immigration continues, or migration, you know, it kind of leaves you with this lost feeling of what are we going to do? And you know, certainly you're on the same thought pattern that I am, except that you're confronted with the monsters, with your children and young family there. And heaven help them if they try and find a partner that is going to agree with them.
That's right.
Because you're not going to get along in a marriage if you have different points of view about our society today. It'll be disastrous. And I'm at a loss. I really am, and I'm sorry for our situation with our country. I really am, but we didn't create the problem, and we're expected to create a solution, but I don't see one. And I see your daughter, you know, are they going to try and arrest her? I wonder if they have that little to do in your community to arrest her.
They do. They have so very little to do, but they are looking. They like to be bad guys. They like to be authority. They like to be feared here. And this is a suburb, but they do like to be feared. We get stalked by them all the time. I finally got to the point where I call the police station and tell them when I'm going to be out driving and what color car I am, and because it scares my kids, you know, when I get stopped. And they stop me all the time.
They do?
Yes.
You're stopped all the time?
All the time. They don't expect, that people, I guess, are not supposed to be out after 11 o'clock or something, you know. And so anybody that does, they get stopped at night, and then they stop you in the daytime. They tell me all the time, I'm just a mom in Kansas, Chris. I'm nobody special.
Right.
And they stop me and tell me I look suspicious.
Huh.
I look suspicious. They followed me from my house to the Dillons, which is probably a little over 100 yards away, and in the middle of the day, and told me I look suspicious.
That's just crazy. Did you think they had your number, so to speak?
Well, I'll tell you, when you talked about husbands and wives needing to be on the same page, for a while we weren't in our family. And
uh-huh.
You and Jackie Petrue, honestly, my husband started paying more attention. But I saw our city picks up our garbage. And several times after I began, my eyes started awakening, you know, and I started going to more websites and doing different things.
Right.
I noticed that the garbage men would not pick up the garbage, but a city truck would come back behind it and pick us, and they would just pick up our garbage and put it in the back of the pickup. And I thought, you know, maybe they thought we did drugs or something, and I had nothing to hide. You know, I didn't have a problem with that. Go ahead, do it. You know, I didn't
right.
have a problem, but, you know, they weren't going to find drugs. I don't do drugs.
Right.
Then not long after that, we've had this problem twice, and so we had to stop. We had to change phone services several times because they put a block on our line. And I asked, you know, I'd asked the phone company. They were real vague and, like, scared to tell me anything.
Huh.
And I would change services, you know, to another company, and they put a block on the line. They didn't know why it was put on there. And at one point, Chris, this sounds like really bizarre stuff. It was bizarre to us. But we had a phone number that we didn't even know. if we thought we had one phone number, but when it came up on the thing,
right,
someone's caller ID was a different number. And they had to call that number to reach us, even though that wasn't our phone number.
My goodness.
Just really bizarre stuff. And I thought perhaps it had to do with, you know, Zionism and
uh-huh.
Israel, you know, because at the time that was what I was looking into.
Uh-huh.
But it just more and more it seems like just everything. I don't know why me, because I'm nobody special. I'm just a mom. I'm not
right.
a wife. And here they are stalking me and following me, and they stop me twice in front of my own home. They don't give me tickets, because there's nothing to ticket me about. But one time they had me surrounded at a convenience store because I pulled in because they turned on their lights.
Uh-huh.
And it was on my son's homecoming, and we were going to a convenience store to get him a snack because it was like old 12 o'clock. And I was in a coat, and it actually has my robe. And I had to get out of the car, and I was surrounded, and there were like three or four cop cars and police everywhere for me. And they didn't ticket me or anything, but they just, you know, they checked me out and told me I looked suspicious.
All the time you're suspicious. What kind of, what are you driving? Some kind of a suspicious vehicle?
Station wagon power.
Okay. All right.
Station wagon. A little Chevrolet.
Just a normal car.
Yeah, normal car.
But
more lately, I've been occasionally driving my daughter's Mustang, and they stopped both of them. They used to stop my son. But, you know, we're like I said, we just realize we're not free anymore.
Well,
that's what's even harder to deal with.
At least I know you're there.
So when you listen to you, my husband started listening to you because I said, no more news. I'm not listening to the news anymore. I'm not watching it. I'm not watching this, and I'm not listening to that, you know, because I just wanted all the lies out of the house. I wanted it gone. I wanted nothing but truth.
Keep your thoughts in place, and we'll go into the second hour and talk about this further.
Okay.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio.